The grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ surround you with his goodness, fill you with his joy, and lead you in his purpose. Amen. We have just heard how God has to warn us about the temptations that we have to be somebody rather than to lift up the one who is somebody. Pride, that's the problem. It has been the problem ever since our first parents were duped in the Garden of Eden to believe that they would be like God and know good and evil. Perhaps you might be aware of the fact that Isaiah later said they did know good and evil. There was a sort of deception there that was a half-truth. The good and evil that they knew, though, was all reversed. And they had light for darkness and darkness for light. And as a consequence, down through the ages, great chapels, great religious services have been forwarded upon man, and man has always been looking toward some kind of relationship with God, but never sure. I don't mean absolutely, but take the New Testament era after all the way that God had guided his people, and most of the people did not know what the coming of the Messiah meant. And it was, I have to be something. I'm worth something. I can do something. I can make myself noticeable to God. I can be something powerful for God. I. And believe me, that temptation is not just a temptation of people who don't understand some of the beauties of God's love. It's a temptation of God's people. And there's always that feeling that we have to go back and realize that anything that happens in this world, there's an equal and opposite reaction to it. It's like the men. Man greeted his neighbor. Great big burly man ran out to shake hands with him as he was moving in, and the great big man reached out his hand, and all of a sudden this other man was flying through the air and landed, and he saw stars. He hit so hard. He turned and looked at the man he was just about to greet, and he turned to him and he said, "Judo, picked it up in Japan." The man walked away and went into his garage, and a little bit came out with a rod in his hand and walked over to the neighbor again, and this time let him have it right across the shins. And with a yelp, he went down. And he looked up at the one who had just given him that real good crack, rubbing his shins like it would never be relieved from pain again. And he said, "Crowbar, picked it up at Sears." Somehow we have the feeling that if something goes wrong, something else has to happen to make that up. And indeed, that's true. You see, every sin has to be paid for, but our comprehension that Jesus has paid for it all has gone through that death, has gone through our hell, has made the gift of God a gift and nothing else, is something that we really don't quite always comprehend. That's why God is saying to us today in this text, go for the gold. The secretary asked me, what was that again? She thought it was go for the gold. And of course, as I look at hymn 270 and realize that Jesus is our priceless treasure, yeah, we should do that too. But what our goal is in life is really what is important. And our text is really asking us to answer two questions indirectly. It is saying, is it garlands to gratify yourself, or is it grace to glorify your Savior? You see, so often we're thinking in terms of success or church growth or whatever you want to call it, in terms of how do I look? Like the little Texas church that was a mission, it had a big building and it was having a real struggle. People were complaining, especially when they came in, because of this black stuff that was all over their feet. And after a while, someone did a survey and found out that black stuff was oil, and they started pumping the oil. And at that time, oil was worth a lot. And very shortly, the treasurer came in and says, "We're receiving these checks for our oil rights, and we have too much money. What shall we do?" And they decided, "Let's pay off the building." The next voters' meeting, it was, "We have too much money again. What do we do now? Let's pay off all our bills." The next meeting, it was, "We got too much money again. What do we do now?" And one man got up in the voters' meeting and decided, let's divide it up among the members. And the very next man got up and said, "I move that we close the membership." Are we here just to keep ourselves in existence? Or are we here to carry out the Great Commission? Now, I don't think most of us have to worry too much about whether somebody sees how much we give, which was one of the things Jesus warned about. But maybe we have to be a little bit concerned when we stop and don't think of our blessings. And we think that maybe because we're not blessed very well, some of the rich people can give more. And so we use that passage, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." But boy, when it comes to praying and looking good and preaching and doing some of those things, I know how uncomfortable it makes me feel when, for instance, I sat in a lawyer's office who knows a lot of my members, and he said, "You know, the people are really happy that you're there, and they're really grateful, and they really like you." It bothers me because I wonder, is nothing being said about how they like Jesus? It bothers me when I hear somebody talking about a long-term ministry and they're no longer calling it Emmanuel or St. John's or St. Peter's. They're calling it Pastor Moyer's church or someone else's church. When we look at our world today and we realize the turmoil that it is in, and I don't mean just the Cold War, I'm talking about the abortion and the morality issues. And do you realize there are a whole group of people that don't even know that it's wrong? Secular humanism has taken over, and the church is really failing to get out there with a goal that Jesus set before it. Now, all these other things are important. Our worship and our prayers and our social work and all these other things, but not to the exclusion of the one thing that people need. Just this morning, I heard on the radio of a little boy was really coming through well after being treated for liver problems and leukemia, but now they found out that his blood transfusions gave him AIDS. We're going into a situation where it's going to be overwhelming. And the goal is not just simply to conquer disease by finding some kind of cure. It's to conquer the immorality that causes the disease and the torment and the torture. And I really believe that Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ has done a great job in this area, though it often isn't too well known. It is a great asset to our church. And I really hope you get to know something about it. Because one thing I know, that if nothing else happens, the young people that go through it are often very committed people. They show a statistic of how many go into full-time church work. And I know there are one or two that I have known in the past, in 15 years of working with OAFC, that have really gone bad, but only one or two. It really gets rid of that confirmation dropout. And if nothing else, it keeps young people close to the Lord and close to the assurance that Jesus Christ has given them life. It's a gift.
and it's forever. And we believe it. And I pray that you'll take the time to be at the convocation so we can share some of the things that we're doing. And I pray that our church will really get mobilized to go for the goal, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature. Amen.